Matthew was sitting at his customs post when Jesus called him. Matthew, of course, wrote this gospel, and so every detail of that was autobiographical. This is such an interesting gospel. When I was at St. Matthew in Hillsboro, we read it twice a year, once for Matthew's feast day and once when it came up today and every year. So I had a lot of opportunities to preach on Matthew. And there's so many different facets of this. One of them is, what does it tell us about God? That the more of a sinner we are, the more attracted God is to us. I just throw that out to you, that far from repelling Jesus, these notorious sinners, Christ saw a challenge, you know, and he came right in there. Most of us would be repelled by that. So Matthew is sitting at his customs post. What's he doing? He's collecting taxes. And you can imagine people opening up their backpacks or whatever it was. They carried stuff around, and Matthew would say, all right, this is for Rome. This is for me. Not a liked person. And Matthew was working for the Romans, who were a conquering nation. The Jews were not opposed to taxes, but they did not want to pay taxes to the Romans. They wanted to pay tax to the temple and to their own nation. And the coin that they used had a false god on it. So they were outraged by this. They saw it as oppression, unjust oppression. And Matthew went to work for the oppressors and helped to oppress his own people. And so that's why in the Gospels, tax collector always goes with either sinner or prostitute. It was right in that same, you know, level of society. Matthew was not a liked person. You would never pick him to be one of your inner circle. And so that's no reflection on any current tax collectors that might be in here today, but means something different then. Matthew must have listened to Jesus. He was stationed near Capernaum, where Jesus had his home base. And he must have been thinking about his life. And Jesus challenged him. People that are in great need or great sin often are the closest to our Lord because they can't wait to, you know, have Jesus fill this big empty space that Matthew must have had. And so Matthew gets up and follows him. And the next scene we have is this wonderful dinner party in which none of us would have been caught dead at this dinner party, filled with notorious sinners, all of Matthew's best friends. You know, I'm always flabbergasted that Matthew ended up being one of the most well-known apostles and, of course, wrote this gospel. You see where he began. So he had nothing to brag about before God. Nobody would have picked him. So what I find really interesting about this gospel today is the line that I'm sure many of you wouldn't think twice about, which is Matthew was called while he was sitting at his customs post. What that means, I think, for us is that God is calling on you and I in the midst of what we're already doing. We often can get into this habit of thinking, well, I do want to serve the Lord, but first I need to clean the house. I'm willing to tithe, but first of all, I've got to make sure that I'm debt free. That may never happen for a lot of people. I'm willing to pray, but let me watch this thing on TV first. Or I'm too much of a sinner, or there's nothing exciting in my life. How can I be a disciple? I just have this job in my family, or I go to school. And our Lord wants us, he calls us to be his disciple where we live, where we go to school, where we shop, in our homes, when we're sick, if we're retired. We all have a role to fill. Your role is unique. Christ has called you, or you wouldn't be here today. You are his arms and legs. In the pre-Vatican II church, I think many Catholics felt this was the job for nuns and priests and brothers. But, you know, I don't work where you work, and I don't live where you live. And you are all God has in those situations. So at times our Lord calls us to be his disciples by what we say and what we do, or by what we don't say and what we don't do. So it's a challenge. You and I are Matthew, and suddenly the table that he's sitting at are people we work with or live with, people that aren't Christian or don't act very Christian. Jesus was right at home there. Matthew got busy right away and started evangelizing these people. I shared this story about 4 years ago, but it's one I come back to very frequently myself. When I was working at the airline, I used to go all over the country trying to figure out the will of God. Oh, do I want to join this community? Do I want to do this type of priesthood or this type of ministry? And I'd go to different places. Partly it was an excuse to see different places, but also I felt that on one of these journeys, I would find the will of God for me. Meanwhile, I was in Massachusetts one day, and I forget where I was going, but I ended up at Spencer Abbey on a retreat, and it was a really nice place. And I called my father of happy memory, and my father was nothing if not an agnostic. You know, he was somebody who didn't like to go to church, which is makes it even funnier that I ended up being a priest. He got a lot of mileage out of that on the golf course. He'd show my picture, my son the priest, and there his eyes would pop out, you know. But I called him, and I said to him, well, I'm in Massachusetts now, and I'm still on my search. And he said, well, tell me, why do you need to go to Massachusetts to find the will of God? So I came home, and I realized that if I didn't serve God where I worked, I wouldn't serve him as a priest or whatever I was thinking of doing. All I had was that job and the next day at work, and that was it. That's what all of us have. That's still true for me. So I went home, and I was in the lost luggage department at that time, and sort of like scales, kind of like carry-on luggage fell off my eyes. And I realized that this was, I won't call it a ministry, but it was my customs post. Christ called me while I was sitting there. And the people that came to me wanted to be listened to. They wanted to be treated nicely. They wanted somebody who really wanted to help them. Those are the ABCs of customer service. For me, that was God's will. That was where I was called to serve him. And all of us find ourselves in various places. God has placed you there. He sees you there. That is where you are going to be his disciple. I worked with a lot of unusual people. Many of them were not Christians. Many of them had no use for God whatsoever. A lot of salty language. A lot of alternate ways of living, you know. Very secular position I was in. And yet, as I say, sometimes God calls us to witness to him by what we don't say and what we don't do when we're with people like that. It is a blessing. And so wherever I went after that, you know, I had a number of other rather interesting things. The next thing I did was I worked on the computer mostly, did not have public contact for a while. It's kind of a relief, you know. But even there, how I did things reflected my discipleship to God. That was a very loosely supervised group of individuals. We all were kind of quasi-supervisors ourselves, and so some of my co-workers took advantage of the situation. So what was I called to do as a disciple of God, of Jesus? To work for him, to not take advantage of the lax supervision, to not follow the example of some of my co-workers. I still remember that. So our Lord calls us where we're at. He calls us to be his disciples while we're at our customs post, while we're in the midst of things. It's hard to imagine how much of a stir Jesus is coming to dinner with these folks must have made in Capernaum. You know what I mean? It was so out of character for someone that we would think of as a prophet, used to calling a sin a sin. Instead, he goes and eats dinner with these people. I mean, by the next morning, everybody in Capernaum must have known about it, huh? Don't you think? When I lived in Tillamook, there was a lady there. This didn't start out being part of my sermon, but it's kind of interesting. She was 100 years old, and we had a 100th birthday party for her. I did a mass for her, and I forget this lady's name. Her name was Jenny. Jenny, that was her name. And it's funny how you put something in your head in the morning, and about 5 hours later, it pops out. Jenny was her name. Thank you, Lord, for that. And I told Jenny and I, there were three generations between us. Normally, I wouldn't go out to lunch alone with an attractive lady because, you know how that is. It's what people would think. And so but I told this lady, I said, let's go to the pancake house. The knights are serving pancakes. I'm getting a commission for pointing that out at the point of my mass. So. I said, let's go to the pancake house, Jenny, and we'll celebrate your 100th birthday. And she said, oh, no, Father, people would talk. I would have enjoyed them talking about it myself, huh? But you see, Jesus deliberately went there so people would talk. And what did he tell them when they came to him, scandalized? You can hear the voices. We'd be among the scandalized here. Don't kid yourself. And what does Jesus say to them? He says, you've got it all wrong. I came here to save the lost. I came here to heal the sick. I want mercy. Before you sacrifice, give me mercy. Mercy is my middle name. So wherever we go, we are surrounded by sinners, and of course we are among them. So we are called to show mercy and to be the Lord's witness right where you live, when you go home this afternoon, whatever you're going to do, whether it's watching television, we choose things that are holy, what we say, when we're shopping, when we're at work, we always have a role that God wants us to fulfill. It is a very great role indeed. And that's what we're called to do by our baptism. So we thank God that he's called you and I, sinners that we are, he wishes us to serve him well.